Good afternoon, Elise Castle.
Good day, Mike Jensen. I like this gentle intro we've been doing lately. It really just softens the experience all around. Before we start, but hold on. I come to you humbly asking for forgiveness. Okay. Because the same lovely listener who informed me that I did not recognize Rock's teacher as Mama Will Provide also just let me know that I said Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered was Cole Porter, and it's not.
It's not.
And I also said it was, what show did I say it was from?
You said it was from Kiss Me, Kate, but I took that out anyway.
Right, it's not. Right, so I said it was Cole Porter from Kiss Me, Kate. So I'm glad you took that out because it's Rogers and Hart from Pal Joey. And let me tell you in a really deep cut way of why I said that. And there may be two people that listen to this podcast that will understand my thinking. So in the amazing DVD, My Favorite Broadway, The Leading Ladies, Maren Mazie sings Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered. And it's a beautiful rendition. And so I just always think of Maren Mazie when I think of Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered. Maren Mazie also did the Broadway revival of
Kiss Me, Kate.
Yes. So when I thought of that, I immediately just thought, oh my gosh, yeah, Maren Mazie, she sings that. She was in Kiss Me, Kate. That was it. Here we go. So that's why I did that. So
I feel like I should have known the Pal Joey only because I believe that it was at the Tony Awards that it was Stockard Channing who was doing a revival of Pal Joey singing Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered against Aaron Tveit, who was singing Alive from
Next to Normal.
Next to Normal, which he was doing at the time. So yeah, but we were also at the end of a podcast. So we were kind of just like saying goodbye at that point.
I know, but there was a reason as to why, and that was like my messed up reason as to how I got there. It's almost like the my thinking behind the Nev Campbell and
Naomi Campbell. Yeah, very
yeah,
easy to mix
that
up.
That whole situation where I in my brain. That's how that works.
Gotcha.
Also, another thing someone said as we were talking about like how they're skipping over plot points and the time seems to be going fast. A listener suggested that they wanted Carrie to fall in love by the end of this season, maybe. And, you know, having her fall in love only 6 months after Big's death may not be real. But having her fall in love 18 months after seems a little bit more doable.
I'm going to wager that she's not going to fall in love by the end of this season, but I will also say that I think they wanted to get past the grief.
Right, yeah.
Like, if the show took place only during the month after Big's death, that's we're focusing on one emotion, and we kind of, I think, wanted to get to other things.
Yeah.
The only thing that I wanted to say from last week, because I almost said it in the recording, I will just address, we were talking about Christmas season versus the holiday season, and I do still believe that we are right that she would say the holiday season, because this takes place in New York. I had just returned from what I would call the holiday season. No one ever said happy holiday. Everyone says Merry Christmas.
Where you were.
Like, legitimately, where I was. Like, at any location that I was outside of New York City, everyone says Merry Christmas. So I will give it that. I still think we're right that the character would say the holiday season, but I just wanted to put that out there quickly. So we are here today to discuss Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered, which is a song from Pal Joey. This episode debuted January 20th, 2022, directed by Anu Valia and written by Rechna Frukbaum. I think that I said her name incorrectly. She's also the writer who wrote Diwali, and I think I said her first name wrong, and so I apologize. It is Rechna Frukbaum. And we are starting out at a Your Fight is My Fight Equality for All rally at Center and Pearl. And I didn't notice this, but it was pointed out. And I'm curious now as I go back, because I do just for fun go back and watch episodes of Sex and the City. We're not starting with Carrie.
Mm.
And that's very, very rare and maybe has never happened before. If anyone can think offhand of an episode that starts not with Carrie, other than the pilot, which starts with a different character, I'd be curious about that as I go back. Because, yeah, it is pointed out that we are starting with a Miranda storyline, a Miranda and Che storyline.
And, yeah, we're starting at a Pride comedy concert.
Yeah.
Starring Che. And I initially thought it was Washington Square Park, but it's not. Yeah, Che is doing a lot of, you know, you are enough crowd work.
And talking about visibility. And I'm guessing that it must have really rained that day, because the rain is mentioned even though you can't really, rain itself doesn't really pick up on film. Whenever you see rain on film, it's usually rain machines because you need a lot of rain to make it look like it's raining. So I'm guessing it was really raining, and then Che kind of throws that out. I do like that Che points to the ally section. There's apparently a specific section where the allies are placed. Right over here is our ally section.
It's like a wedding when you come in and it's like, are you part of the community or are you an ally?
Allies to the right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's mostly just Brady and Louisa. And we have the whole, you have nothing to hide, as Miranda begins to hide. And hiding isn't the key to anything.
At first, I thought I heard a phone call happening in this moment. But I could just be wrong, and that was just underscoring. Because I was like, oh, Miranda leaves on a phone call.
No, I don't think there's any kind of phone call.
Actually, she leaves because she sees her son.
And Che gets a bit tripped up, which I, in the moment, was a little like, why is Che even paying that much attention? Tension and like theoretically Miranda maybe is just going, but I it all ends up making sense, but I in the moment was a little bit like surprised that Che got so tripped up in the moment. And I do want to the shirt that they're wearing that says angels have no gender but better sex. I don't know what that,
I didn't really understand it.
Yeah, I didn't really either.
It's one of those like shirts that I get it, but I also have no idea what it means.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I get it. It was probably, like, very high-end designer phrase.
Yeah, that makes me feel about that. That's how I feel about a few of the jokes that we have in this series. That I'm like, I get that it's a joke, but I don't think it means exactly what you think it means.
And then I like that when they pan over the crowd, you, like, get, like, that slightly uncomfortable, awkward, heterosexual couple in the background. Just like, they're not quite in.
That.
Yeah, but they're just clapping.
And we're in Thomas Paine Park. This is Foley Square. This is like way downtown by the courthouses. And I just say that Che is smoking someone else's something. I don't know. The person has like some kind of cigarettes on them and Che is smoking one of them. Okay. And Miranda got them iced coffees.
I'm assuming it's a weed cigarette.
She's doing some pot.
She's doing some weed in the park. I actually have a friend who worked on this episode, and I couldn't find him in the crowd because he was dressed in drag. And I didn't know which episode he was going to be in, but he had mentioned to me, he said, it's at the next episode, and I just completely forgot. And then when I saw this, I was like, oh, for sure, this is the one that he was in, but I couldn't find him in the crowd. But I should ask him if it was really raining.
Yeah, and Che sort of questions the Looney Tunes act. And, you know, okay, Miranda says that she saw her son, and I didn't want him to see me here with you. And did that sound okay in her head before she said it?
Well, I think he would just have a lot of questions. Like, Mom, this is the person that you screamed at the last time you saw them when I was doing the weed with them outside of Mr. John's funeral. I don't think Brady would say Mr. Big. Uncle John, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's just that he doesn't know about me. And we quickly get to Che, who has been under the impression that Miranda was in an open marriage. And I never said I was. We probably should have discussed this before now. And we find out it's been 3 weeks of nonstop
effing.
And why did you put yourself out there?
Well, and here's my thing about it. I thought it was an interesting thing for Che to assume that Miranda was in an open marriage, because I think that Miranda's behavior has been very like, I've never done this, I've never thought of this, I never thought this could be like this. And I think that's something that maybe you would talk about.
Yeah, I mean, it establishes that at least Che knew that Miranda was married, but just instantly assumed it was an open marriage, which is a strange thing to assume.
Right. Maybe that's also, though, a age difference between them, where Che in the community that they're in, and also the age difference between Che and Miranda, it's more common. You know, like Che didn't think anything of this person trying to have sex with them, even though they're married, because Che knows lots of people in open marriages. And Miranda thinks like, no, of course you would assume I was still in a marriage. Like, this is just good old-fashioned cheating.
Yeah. And it all happened so fast, and I've been married for forever. And we quickly get to Che saying, like, I don't sneak around. I'm a lot of things, but I'm not a homewrecker. To which Miranda responds that her home was already wrecked, and it makes me want to tear my own head off.
I know. I was like, Mike, do you like Che more now than Miranda?
My next note is that Che walks away, and I've never liked them more. Like, I feel like since episode one, I'm, like, so much more on like, Team Che now.
Yeah, and the home wasn't wrecked. The home was messy.
The home was messy, and you're unhappy. That doesn't mean you're... Okay.
And no one talked about it, right? Like, the home was a mess, and you decided to not tell Steve that you were unhappy with the mess that you were both making.
Yeah.
And I could totally understand, like, you know, being unhappy in a marriage and wanting out. But I think that it is kind of like, I think Miranda could have maybe handled this a little bit differently. Like, I'm not saying that the first experience was awful, because that did help her find herself a bit. But I think after that, maybe she should have been a bit more open with Steve.
That was my point in last week's, where I talk about the fact that it's been 6 months now since that happened.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So anyways, we'll definitely get more to this subject later.
Or I would have liked Miranda to have recognized that this was wrong, or that this wouldn't be helpful, and gone to see a therapist about it. You know, gone to marriage counseling on her own, maybe not, and finding out how to best handle this moving forward with Steve.
So we get to Carrie amongst her clothes. And did you notice that she's carrying the Heidi dress?
Yeah, I wanted to know if Miranda's beekeeper costume was in there too.
No, this is just Carrie's clothes.
I know, but maybe she was like, Miranda, can I have that outfit?
And we do see, like, pretty prominently the 80s prom dress from the first film.
Yeah, and I had a couple questions about this. So didn't she get rid of a lot of this stuff in the first film?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was a little confused on that too, because the... And I actually don't know if it was in the main part of the film or in a deleted scene, but she definitely got, I feel like she got the thumbs down on that prom dress. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, she got a thumbs, like the whole thing was she was cleaning out her closets to get rid of so much stuff, and they all had those signs, and they sat there, and the music was playing, yeah, and they were doing sassy catwalks.
No, that scene was for nothing at all, because she kept all the clothes, and this is based in the reality that Sarah Jessica Parker has actually kept.
Right, we talked about that, yeah.
And she has, like, sort of indexed it all, and she has it, you know, filed and all of that. And it was, you know, SJP picked up the Heidi dress. It wasn't in the script. It wasn't, like, directed. She just, when she started, she, I think that it was sort of an indication of, the Heidi dress was kind of the first, like, quote-unquote crazy outfit. Or I guess I don't really have to put quote-unquote. It was a pretty crazy outfit that kind of got people talking about Carrie's sense of style. And so I think that it was sort of like SJP being like, yep, this was it. This is what started the Carrie sense of fashion.
Well, and also, you know, I was, as someone who has cleaned out their closet many times and donated things, I will say that you often go back to the bags before you donate or get rid of things and are like, maybe I'll wear this again and pull things out. So maybe Carrie just did that like 8 times.
Yeah.
80 times, 800 times.
And Seema arrives and remembers the Barney's Warehouse sale.
Do you remember the Barney's Warehouse sale? I did go a couple times, but I never bought anything.
I don't think I ever went to Barney's. Mm. I don't even know where Barney's was.
Yeah, it was on the east side. And I went a few times because I think I didn't realize it was like a really cool department store. Like, they had, like, all the really cool designers there. But I didn't know what any of them was. The only thing I ever bought there was Lady Gaga did, like, a store in Barney's one holiday season and did, like, a gift shop. And I bought a few things from there for my sister-in-law because she loves Lady Gaga.
And I feel like maybe Carrie smells the smoke on Seema. Like, there has that sort of moment where she takes a big inhale. And then we cut to sushi.
Yeah, we cut to sushi. Carrie says she's going through her 20s, 30s, and 40s.
I will say that's one of the jokes that I mean earlier, where, like, I get that it's a joke, but I don't get it. The 20s, 30s, and 40s, and that's just that rack. I'm like, so the other racks are
baby
your
clothes,
teens and 50s? Yeah, like that was a joke that didn't quite make any sense to me. But yeah, do you want to see something amazing? And it's the Milfoy from the Paris episode. And she's only worn it twice. And I do like that we get the Paris reference.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that Lily's been there all week helping her archive.
Yeah.
And Seema goes to smoke.
Well, this was a question I had about this. So she says, what are you going to do with that dress? And she says, Lily's been here all week archiving to get some of my vintage pieces that were not vintage when I bought them. Lily getting the Paris dress?
No, I think that she's just helping her and getting certain things.
Okay.
But that's another line that I thought was weird. Some of the things that are vintage that weren't vintage. Yeah, that's what happens to clothing. Like, it becomes vintage. I don't know. There were just some weird lines in here.
Well, that's what Carrie was just, like, referencing the fact that now her clothes are considered vintage and making her feel old. But she never answered what she's going to do with the Paris dress.
Yeah. And there's no smoking inside, which does feel like progress.
Yeah. Don't invite Che over.
Yeah. And we find out that Carrie allows herself one a day in a walk around the block, heavily protected. More on that later.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie sort of says, like, I'll sit on the stoop with you if my new neighbor isn't there. But the new neighbor is there. And she's so cool.
Yeah. And then the neighbor has a full party outside.
Yeah. Well, she wants to know how she can afford the good apartment below her. And Seema guesses that it's a Russian hooker. And I guess that's a common scenario in real estate. Her term, not mine.
Well, also, she could just come from money. A lot of people's parents pay for their apartments.
Good for them. Yeah, we have loud people on the stoop And then we cut to Jackie Lee. And I guess it's like 2-something in the morning at this point. And he was pretending to be tired because no one calls this line except for his now dead grandma.
And I wrote, and now we are with Jackie and his daughter on a sewing machine. Never mind. It's his girlfriend.
Yeah, we unpack a girlfriend named Smoke who designs. So I don't know if this relationship must have happened in the last 6 months.
Yeah. And she doesn't, for the record, she doesn't look that young. It was just like the last we heard, like Jackie was with the Ally Stroker character.
Right. Yeah.
Also, she was like hunched over this sewing machine. So.
And Carrie just wants to know if there's a cool way to tell a new neighbor to be quiet. And we get the quick Wicked Witch of the West Side story. And the laugh that defies any sound barrier.
Have you ever told anyone to be quiet?
I have never told anyone to be quiet. I don't really have that issue. I'm really back and forth on things being too loud in New York City. Because I'm not saying that it can't happen. Definitely, like, there are moments that people are too loud, especially at certain hours of the night. But I also am sometimes a little bit like, you're in New York City. I once had a neighbor complain about me being too loud. They, no kidding, like basically barged into my front door as soon as I opened it to look for the source of the sound. I want it to be known that I was listening to like Fresh Air with Terry Gross on my phone. So I don't really get how things were too loud, but apparently some kind of noise was happening from that listening experience.
Well, yeah. And I do think like having people on the stoop, especially if your bed is near a window, like that feels like the conversation is happening in your bedroom, and that can be frustrating.
For sure.
Especially at that time. We do have a friend who once screamed at the kids in her apartment building for being too loud.
Yeah, so I know that it happens. And once again, I get that it can be a problem, but I've not personally had that experience. And it's now 4:15, and she goes ahead and yells out the window, even though she was advised not to, and we just get a polite sorry ma'am back.
And that's... that pushes her over the edge.
When, do you remember your first ma'am?
Yeah, when I was like 14.
Yeah, I think that I was 16 when I got my first sir. And it was very odd.
I mean, but it could have just been like, I refer to everyone as ma'am.
Gotcha.
And it's just something that like started years ago. And I still say it. I'm like, excuse me, ma'am, like to my friends at work. And they're like, what did you just say to me? And I'm like, okay, it's everyone gets it. You're not getting it because I was like raised in a yes, ma'am, yes, sir household. It's just like my sense of...
yeah.
Humor.
So Charlotte's asking Harry why he's not wearing his aura ring, which I had never heard of.
Yeah. I thought at first it was like to determine his aura, like his aura colors.
No, it's like a whole health. It's like, you know, I have my Apple Watch that I wear, and I guess this is just like the ring version of that. They're not cheap, but they're not crazy expensive. I kind of thought it was going to be like an insanely expensive purchase, but they're a few hundred dollars. And she just sort of mentions that men your age are developing heart problems, and we find out that he's been sneaking Hershey's Kisses in the closet.
Well, maybe he should reschedule that colonoscopy.
I bet they did it by now.
All right.
Well. And if you want me to wear a ring, you have to ask me properly. And she gets down on one knee, and as long as you're down there.
Yeah, she gets on one knee, and he's like, why don't you get down on two? Pretty much. He didn't say that, but that would have been a good line.
Yeah, and we get fake flaccid penis as Lily approaches, and Charlotte slams the door.
Yeah, he asks for a beach, and he whips out a very large fake wiener. Is it a CGI wiener? Is it a prosthetic wiener?
It was the prosthetic.
Okay.
And I was checking your daddy's penis for cancer.
Yeah. And I like that Lily is just like, I don't even think Lily saw it. I think Charlotte just slammed the door in her face.
Yeah.
And also, in Charlotte's defense, that was a phenomenal explanation, I thought. Like, all she had to do in that moment is just say, like, sorry, your dad was worried about this lump and I was just taking a look at it for him. But then Charlotte makes it weird and Lily's just like, ew, like you're grossing Lily out at this point. Like, just don't talk about it.
Yeah, we get back to Carrie's and I wrote she has a green mask on and I can see where this is going.
Yeah, I wrote Carrie is Elphaba and the neighbor comes up to apologize and Carrie's like, I never sleep, I just write.
Yeah, I don't, yeah, and I get it. I get that she wants to now look cool in front of this person that she thinks is cool. But yeah, she says that she was trying to write because she's a writer who writes books. And I'm just like, you're allowed to be like, thank you for apologizing. It was just really late and I needed to get some sleep. Like, that doesn't make you old because you want to sleep at 4:15 in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, the only time I actually ever yelled at a neighbor was when I was like 24 and I lived above this guy who really loved the song I'm in Miami. It was like, I'm in Miami trick, like that song. And at a time, he was playing it on loop. Like nonstop, so loud and yelling and screaming with his friends. So then the next morning, I put Judy Garland live at Carnegie Hall on a stereo and just put it face down on my floors. And then eventually I apologized to, or I knocked on the door and was like, can you please stop? I have to work brunch.
Really fighting fire with fire there.
Yeah.
And we don't find this out yet, but this character's name is Lizette, and she's played by Katharina Tenenbaum, and I know her from AJ and the Queen. She played AJ's mom on AJ and the Queen, which was also a Michael Patrick King TV show that had one season on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like Carrie seeing the mask. Like, I do like that moment of like, ugh. Of course.
Yeah.
And we get to three ladies at a meal and I want seafood.
Yeah, they are at the lobster place inside of Chelsea Market.
I was going to bring that up later because I don't think that I've ever been to this. I've been to Chelsea Market, but I've never been to the lobster place. But I kind of want to go now.
Okay, we can go.
And we get pretty quick into Miranda's going to ask Steve for a divorce. And I'm like, Carrie's like, well, let's table my new neighbor for a different time.
Yeah, and it's like tonight during dessert ritual, I'm going to ask.
Yeah.
And, you know, Charlotte is not throwing shade about it, as the kids say.
Yeah, we have because, you know, Miranda just says that she can't sneak around. It's not fair to Che. It's not fair to Steve. And Carrie points out that it's not fair to her either. But I'm kind of like, I don't really care about Miranda's feelings in this moment. And I feel like Miranda looks at Charlotte for judgment.
Mm-hmm. Well, because she got the judgment before.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, she isn't throwing shade. She can't even handle her own life right now. And she starts to share this story. And I mean, famous. Carrie's reading of this next line is, I just want to like watch it on a loop over and over and over again. It's so good with her just like, back up, back the truck up. I don't know. I laughed so hard. I love it.
Yeah. And then we just get a montage of you still blow Harry for about 10 minutes.
Yeah. I guess that this could use a little Charlotte hates giving blowjobs update. Because last we ever talked about Charlotte and blowjobs was her saying, I hate giving them. So people change.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, like, you can learn to like something you once didn't like. But I wouldn't have minded a little bit of like, I remember the time when you blah, 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 blah. I don't know. That I would have liked a little bit of an update to that. And Miranda can't stop saying, you still blow Harry, and I want shrimp.
You want shrimp?
Yeah, because now she's eating shrimp. Just everything looks so good.
I know.
It looks so good to me.
Miranda can't stop saying, you blow Harry, I want shrimp.
Yeah.
I just like that how that melded together.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I was also thinking, like, you know, have a little bit of, I guess it doesn't matter because Miranda's about to dump his ass, but can't we have a little bit of compassion? Because Steve had testicular cancer. We're just throwing around these jokes about checking Harry for cancer and you still blow Harry, and like, Steve had it.
Yeah. And I like that Charlotte wanted to normalize sex so her kids wouldn't feel weird about it the way that she did growing up.
Or into her 40s.
Yeah, exactly. And Carrie tells her just to reframe it, which is a great idea. And then I originally wrote Miranda honors the rule of three. And then I watched it again and I was like, actually, Miranda honors the rule of four. Because then she says the line for the fourth time.
Yeah, you still blow Harry?
I knew you had one more in you.
It's like, you still blow Harry and I have a toddler are going to be the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our catchphrases.
I think the best way that Charlotte could really talk to Lily is be like, Lily, you know what they used to call me? Everything but girl.
I don't think we have to go quite that far. And then this is where I was like, oh, we're in Chelsea Market.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of have the soup place is gone. No, it's not. It's something else. But that's all just to get us to Carrie being able to say, I remember when I was something else.
And then we get to Fat Witch Brownies.
Oh, look, it's me, the Wicked Witch of my brownstone. You know what? I'm going to bring my neighbor some brownies to apologize.
Apologize for what?
For no longer being cool. Okay, let's see. Fat Witch Original, Fat Witch Walnut. Oh, Blondie Witch writes itself.
Yeah, and Carrie's going to buy a brownie for her neighbor who I hope has no allergies.
I like that.
Yeah.
Fat Witch brownies are delicious. I've had them before. I didn't realize the store was still there, but they're just like really dense and buttery and delicious. You probably can't have them. Sorry.
Yeah. And I saw, yeah, they also have the others like witch brownies and baby brownies.
Baby ones are smaller.
Yes, I think so. And do you want to bring Steve a brownie for the tough conversation? You're exploding his world. I'm telling him something he already knows. Does he?
I mean, that's the problem with this is I think... Because Miranda feels one way, she's just assuming that it must be so clear to everyone else, right? Like, she has discovered how unhappy she is, and we'll get there when we get there, but she's like, well, if I feel this way, I mean, Steve has to know that things aren't good, because they're not good. But that's not always true.
Yeah, these next few lines, like, Carrie asks if she's going to tell him about Che, and I don't think so. We would have gotten to this place, and literally, like, in one breath almost says, I know that I want to be alone. And then I know that I want to be with Che. And I wrote a really long ugh.
Yeah. And I wrote, Miranda wants Che, but how much does Che want Miranda?
Right. Which is what Carrie comes back with.
Oh, so I wrote that because Carrie says it.
Probably. It's fine. Yeah.
Sure.
So Carrie gets home with her brownies and she knocks on the door downstairs. No one answers. So she goes to leave. and the door opens and I may need some time alone.
So this actor is, this is his first credit on IMDb.
Yeah.
I don't know his name, but you can say it.
His name is Corey Saucier. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Because I'm fully confident that you did some research on this gentleman.
I did do some research on him. He plays Shane.
Yes, and he doesn't have any other acting credits on IMDb, but he is a model. And you can go to his Instagram, which I'm sure Mike Jensen did.
I did. Yeah, he's done a lot of modeling. I do like the, like, oh, we don't eat sugar.
I just wrote, just take them, asshole. Like,
I thought the same thing, but we're going to find out that he's an asshole, so.
I hate that so much, because that happens where, like, you bring a gift and someone's like, oh, we don't do this. Take it and give it to someone else.
100%.
You know how many bottles of wine I have accepted? You know, and I don't recommend that. If you are someone who struggles with, you know, drinking, it's perfectly fine to tell someone, you know, like, I don't drink, I'm sorry. And also, like, kind of as a PSA to people, like, gifting alcohol, is, unless you know the person drinks, can be kind of a risky triggering thing. However, my landlord used to give me wine every year, and I didn't have a problem not drinking it, mostly because I think he made it in his basement, and that's kind of scary. But I would just either dump it out or give it to other people.
Yeah, so he drops the blondies and then his sheet.
Yeah, and another penis.
Yeah, this one's real, though. And she just says, you keep them, and he responds, sorry about that, ma'am.
Sorry about my wiener, ma'am.
So we're at Che's work, and Miranda is there, and Che is headed to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And we just get into, like, am I crazy? Am I making this up? I have giant feelings. Do you? And then we find out that Che is in love with her.
Yeah. I wrote, Che is in love with Miranda. Miranda is in love with Che. Now Miranda is speaking like she's in a 1940s play. Because she's, like, delivering this monologue and...
Well, she's going to change the circumstance. And Che comes back with, look at me, listen to me. I can't give you anything traditional. And Miranda hates traditional, but just wants you and me, which is traditional.
Right. Like, what I'm thinking, and once again, we'll get there when we get there, is like, you never hear Che say, leave your husband for me. You never hear Che say, leave your husband and you and I will be together as a couple. You just hear Che say that they won't be together if she's with Steve.
And I'm going to change the circumstance, which could easily mean I'm going to talk to Steve about having an open relationship.
Yeah.
Also, don't leave your husband for someone else. Like, leave the person for you. That's one thing in and of itself. But leaving because you think you have a sure thing set up is just foolish.
Yeah, and also you can just see the craziness in Miranda's eyes, that she's, like, so drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Drunk in love.
We'll get to way more of that.
Yeah.
So we cut to Le Grand Boucherie. I don't know if we pronounce it that way or not, but we're on West 53rd Street.
Mm-hmm. And Charlotte and Lily are having lunch.
This just looks like one of those restaurants that I would never go to.
Oh, I was thinking this looks great.
It looks really good, but I don't know. I'm not that fancy.
No, but maybe one day.
Maybe one day I'll be fancy. Yeah, they're both on their phones, and then Lily still is, and it's sort of like, let's put our phones on the table and chat.
Right.
And Lily needs a straw and goes to get it herself because she's not gross.
Which, I have a few thoughts about this. So before that, Charlotte wants to talk about what mommy and daddy did. I can guarantee you Lily does not want to talk about this. Even if Lily knows exactly what mommy and daddy were doing, she does not want any part in this conversation. Yeah, she needs a straw and she's going to get it because she's not gross. As a weight person, like, just ask me for the straw.
Yeah,
like, you can, coming up to me, like...
Yeah, no, it's actually better to ask for the straw.
Because then I feel like I didn't do something good enough.
Right.
You know?
And there's an alert on Lily's phone, and Charlotte looks, and it's an Instagram alert for a questionable picture.
She's in, like, a workout set, giving a look to the camera.
And I almost feel like it's the look that is what is most concerning to Charlotte.
Right.
And I love her line reading of who's Colin 55, and is 55 his age?
Yeah.
Which is what I thought, too.
She's like, I follow your Insta. And I thought she was going to say she has a Finsta, which I learned about. Finsta is like,
yes,
a lot of, most people, most Gen Z and younger have two Instagram accounts. They have their Instagram and then they have their Finstagram, which only their close friends get.
Right. And Lily leaves, and we don't walk away from each other in this family. And I kind of can't believe that Lily leaves her phone behind.
Me too. That's what I thought. I was like, wow, she just leaves her mom with the phone.
Yeah. And we cut to Carrie in a very 80s jumpsuit.
Yeah, but it didn't even work when she bought it, she says, which is shocking.
I feel like I used to have a jacket that looked very similar to this.
It's very Midnight at the Oasis from Waiting for Guffman with Ron and Sheila.
Yeah. And Charlotte is calling, and Lily says that they were in a fight. And I kind of like the whole, like, I'm going to take this call in the bathroom. And Leah says, and then you have to hear my side.
Yeah. And I like that Charlotte's calling Carrie for parenting advice.
Well, I don't think it's...
And I think it's because Carrie's like the cool aunt to Lily.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, whatever. I don't have kids, and I think I give great parenting advice.
No, of course.
In fact, I write later on in this, I think I would be a really good parent.
I do, too. And Charlotte found the Hershey Kisses.
Yeah, that's what I said that, too. I'm like, apparently she found the Hershey Kiss stock that Harry keeps in the closet. And the sort of thing of, like, you know, you went out with me in the 90s when I wore far less, and she's only 15, which is an important point. I will say that there are some that say that it doesn't make any sense that Lily is 15, that she should actually be 17 at this point, but we've always played it a little fast and loose with time and Sex and the City, so I guess it's okay. And I guess the thing that I wrote, and I get that I'm not saying this in judgment of any kind whatsoever, because depending on how comfortable you are with yourself can dictate the way that you treat images of yourself. There are no nude pictures of me out in the universe. If ever there's a time when, like, there's a nude picture of Mike Jensen, it's a fake, because none of them have been taken. I just feel like there's this sense, I sometimes feel like there's a lack of understanding that the internet is forever. That, like, this picture of 15-year-old Lily will be put out in the world forever. It's never going to go away. That's all. My overall point being, careful what you put out in the internet.
In the internet.
In the internet, yes.
I guess I'm a little confused, because I'm like, so you just think in general, like, this could be the start of a bigger problem for Lily?
I'm not saying that it's a problem, because once again, like, if you are like, I look hot, I want to put this picture out on the universe, that's fine, but just know that it's out there forever.
Mm, okay.
You can never get it back. As Social Network said, the internet is in pen.
Mm.
So who is that pose for? And maybe it's for Lily, and she's trying to figure something out. And yeah, it's just workout clothes. She doesn't even work out. Okay. And we kind of get to, like, what should I tell her about the sleepover? And I think it could be good for us. It could be good for all three of us. And then we cut to very loud music at 4:10 in the morning.
Doesn't affect Lily.
Nope, she's a young person. She can sleep right through it. And I guess it was important enough that it's pointed out in... Michael Patrick King points out that Carrie puts on her black robe. So she is sort of like the Wicked Witch now going downstairs.
Mm, okay, I thought it was just like, oh, Carrie's cool. She's going to go down in that cool room. Yeah, she... She goes into the apartment downstairs, which I immediately am like, wow, that is a nice apartment. It has the double doors. It's right there. She just goes in, and we see Lizette passed out, like, clutching a wine glass. She's asleep, and Carrie's like, you know what? I'll just turn down the music myself. And then she's like, let me check what this FedEx package is. I think she just wanted the girl's name.
I think so,
but
too.
I thought maybe she was going to commit mail fraud. And then she does what I'm very grateful for.
Yeah, I knew you would be.
Which, she blows out the candle. Thank God.
Yeah, I wrote that she blows out the candle, but I also wish she would take the glass out of Lizette's hand. Mm.
But then Lizette like, would probably...
That was also stressful for me.
I know, but that would be very scary to have, like, your neighbor in your apartment taking a glass out of your hand.
I think she would have slept through it. Yeah, and I guess this is a true story. This really happened to one of the writers on the show, that there was loud music from another apartment, and they went to investigate, and the party was over, and there was a person sleeping on the couch. So, really happened. And we found out that her full name is Lizette Ali. And Carrie's discovered that Lizette is a jewelry designer. She's on the phone with Seema on her cigarette walk.
Yeah.
And I guess this is also a true story, that the writer used to write on the Fox lot on a different show, and they didn't smoke in front of anyone, but they would go for cigarette walks and wrap up their head and put on plastic gloves so they wouldn't get any scent of it on them. So, yeah.
Well, Carrie's basically just dressed as Little Edie.
Yeah, I can see that. And Seema's drinking cognac?
Yeah, I'm not... Okay. I'm not really sure.
And I just love the random, like, out of nowhere, Colin Jost is a real estate tease. I like those kind of, like, random... Like, I want to know that... At some point, Colin Jost will watch this and be like, what the hell?
Yeah. He's from SNL, right?
He is. Yes. He does Weekend Update on SNL.
Good with job. Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson is also on SNL, but it's Michael Che and Colin Jost that do Weekend Update.
I'm just thinking of it because I saw the Kennedy Center Honors and they were doing it together on that.
And they also just bought a Staten Island ferry together. And who wants to be seen as the crazy neighbor? So right on cue, in potholder boots, Lizette comes down the stairs.
I didn't notice the potholder boots.
I didn't either. It was pointed out. And when I went back to watch, I was like, oh yeah, those are big potholder boots she's wearing. And should we talk about the cigarette toss?
No, because I think it just pisses you off and that's it.
Well, I will say that it pisses me off, but also someone gave a 5-star review on IMDb solely based on the cigarette toss. And if that was in support of me, I appreciate it. But, you know, 5 stars is pretty harsh for one moment.
Because she throws a cigarette.
Yes. And so you get to Lily folding clothes and you're still mad at me.
And Charlotte wants to talk to her and then... she realizes that she doesn't really want to talk to her and just is like, your daddy doesn't have cancer. And then they hug.
Yeah, Charlotte just says that she isn't trying to shame her. She's just surprised. And when I was your age, we didn't feel so comfortable expressing ourselves. And we find out that this particular Finsta, if you would, is only 13 friends and someone's little brother named Colin.
So we know Colin 55 is not 55.
Yeah, he's young. And Charlotte brings up her and Harry in the bathroom, and do you have any questions? And Lily's only question is, did you find any cancer? So I actually don't think that Lily knew what was happening in the bathroom.
Not at all. And I think this maybe would have been a good place for Charlotte to say, the internet is forever.
Absolutely. So then I wrote, so here's the scene.
Yeah. Steve, I love you. So this is serious.
Yeah, she asks if he has his hearing aids in. He's watching sports. And I feel like there's an Anne Mira picture in the background. So his ma. Mm. Yeah, and he kind of goes right to like, do you want to ask me for a divorce or something?
I'm not happy.
Holy shit. I was just kidding again. Are you serious?
I can't do this anymore. I'm not happy.
Okay, so what does that mean? You're not happy.
This isn't enough for me.
What is it? Me? I'm not enough.
This is about me.
Except that you're talking about divorcing me. Can I have my hand back, please?
Are you happy?
I thought this wasn't about me.
Are you happy?
What's happy?
If you even have to ask the question.
Okay, yes, I'm happy. Not happy right now. What's the problem?
I want more.
More what?
More everything. More connection, more energy, more sex, more me, more Steve, more.
I get it. You want more.
Yeah, it's very Ariel from Little Mermaid. She just keeps talking about how she wants more, 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 more. And, you know, Steve has this line that's so heartbreaking. I don't have the exact line, but where he says, you know, Miranda, I've done this with you over and over again, where I'm not enough, where I'm kind of enough, where I'm not enough again, and then I am enough. And it's like, what do you want?
Yeah, he's too old to rally for them again. Yeah. And I've tried to not have too many conversations about this because then I can't remember if I'm saying it on the podcast or not. But I know that there was a lot of pushback on this scene and the idea that Steve would have fought more for them. But I think there's something to be said for getting to a place where you kind of go, I can't fight for this anymore. I'm not going to argue with you about why you should stay with me. And I also think, on that same journey, you can also say, if you are truly unhappy with me and I love you and I want you to be happy, then you should probably go.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that we have this idea of a successful marriage versus a failed marriage, and that the only version of a successful marriage is one that lasts until someone dies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's error in that. There, you know, I feel like I've mentioned my favorite author, Anna Quinlan. She has a book in which one of the characters eventually gets a divorce and has a conversation with a friend about her failed marriage. And the friend basically says, like, you were married for this many years and you have an amazing child who's going to college. Don't call that a failed marriage. And I really like that point. I think it's something to think about. I'm not saying that I love this situation still. I'm not saying I think Miranda's handling it particularly well. But there is part of me that kind of wonders, like, if you wouldn't, as a spouse, be like, I'm not happy with this. I don't necessarily think you're making the right choice. Because he even says, like, yeah, he says, like, this is life. But it's not the life that Miranda wants. And I guess this is about you because I'm fine with this life. And I don't know what else you think is out there, which is when Miranda lets it drop of, I've met someone.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Like, I think that, you know, I'm too old to rally for us again. Like, I've been in situations where I feel like I'm constantly trying to prove why I'm enough. And it's exhausting, you know, and eventually at some point you're just like, I gotta go.
Right.
Like, I can't do this. It's, you know, it's that thing they say, like, self-esteem comes from esteemable acts. And Steve not rallying isn't a sign of weakness. Steve not rallying isn't him being a pushover or not caring or giving up. Steve not rallying is actually, like, some of the most self-esteem that I've seen him have in this whole series.
Yeah, because on one side of it, I've been in the situation where I've been like, I'm not going to argue with you about why I'm a good friend.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to argue with you about I'm a good person. Like, I'm just not going to do this anymore. And I've also been the person who ended a relationship with someone with whom I was deeply in love, but I knew it wasn't the correct
mm-hmm.
future. I knew that it wasn't what was going to take us forward. And it was nightmarish. It was one of the hardest things I've ever gone through, was ending that relationship. But at some point, you have to take a look at your life and say, this is working and this isn't working. And it's not working for her. So I still don't love it, but at least she's finally being honest. Mm-hmm. And Carrie gets the phone call. And I wrote that she's in a cab and almost manic. And yeah. Michael Patrick King says that this is simply like a happiness you feel after you've revealed the truth. And I'm not going to argue with that. Obviously, it's his show. But there is also just part of me that's like, there's happiness and then there's like borderline mania.
Yeah. And I think that there is a sense of, When you have relief, there is this sense of like excitement and a little bit of mania. And I think that's what she's going through. I think she's excited. She's like, everything I've ever wanted is going to come true for me. And I just wrote, this is not going to end well.
No. Yeah. Yeah. She's on her way to the airport. She's on her way to Cleveland. I'm in a rom-com. And I like Carrie's like, have a safe flight, whoever this is.
Yeah. Because Che was assuming that Miranda was in an open relationship. But Che hasn't said if Che is in a relationship.
And it just feels to me and looks to me like Miranda is gleefully rushing into not what she thinks she's going to end up getting.
Yeah.
But we'll see where it goes.
Right.
Because then we get to Carrie heading downstairs and there was a fight happening. Have you ever walked in on a fight?
Have I ever walked in on like an argument between people?
Yeah.
I mean, when I'm waiting tables, like when you're like,
yeah,
so
that was what I was
going to
say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've definitely had that.
We've witnessed divorces.
We have witnessed divorces.
Which is a weird thing to do at a restaurant.
It is a very odd thing. Do that at home.
A few weeks ago, there was a couple where the woman like picked up a glass ready to throw it into the guy's face. And our manager went over there and went, please don't make a scene. Because it's like, you know what I mean? Like, you're going, like, that is kind of the job of the manager, is to make sure that, like,
yeah,
everyone in the restaurant, because that's not just affecting them. Like, that kind of ruins the experience for everyone there. And they didn't. By the end, they were, like, making out.
Sometimes in New York, there's just a little bit too much living out loud, I feel like.
Right.
And apparently, he slept with every girl she knows, which makes sense because I don't think anyone in that kind of shape can be faithful. I take it back. That was rude. But there is part of me that's like, I don't know. That's...
Who are you doing this for?
Yeah.
If Mike ever has an attractive partner, he's just going to be like, why are you this attractive? What are you hiding?
I'll get past it. Yeah, so she sees Carrie and retreats to her place, but quickly comes back out. And I'm so embarrassed. I'm mortified you had to see me like this, which I think is an interesting line, but it's all good. And then it's fine. And I'm an asshole for going out with that guy. What are you going to do? It's New York dating. To which Carrie gets the validation that she is indeed cool. And we get to Carrie and the Milfoy eating Jiffy Pop, which I didn't know was still a thing.
Yeah, yeah. My old roommate used to buy it, yeah.
Had no idea. And just like that, I realized there are some things that should never be put into storage, which I guess is a line they struggled with.
Why?
Because they didn't know how to end the episode. Like, they're ending every episode with "and just like that." And I think that certain episodes sort of write the "just like that" for them. And I think that in the writer's room, there was a bit of discussion of like, what in this episode happened just like that, that would make sense as a button. But I think it works well.
Yeah, because we're putting Steve into storage, maybe.
Eesh.
And we're putting that fake peen into storage. And hopefully Lily starts archiving some of those photos on Instagram so they're not on the main feed.
Yeah, and we had no Naya.
No Naya, no Rock, no... Still no Isaac Cole Powell, so TBD.
I know, two to go,
now,
two to go.
Someone did reach out and say, like, do you think that if he was part of a storyline that involved Chris Noth more... that maybe they cut a lot of it? Because I know that there have been scenes that have been cut, some flashback scenes.
My understanding is one scene has been cut.
Okay.
One scene has been cut from the finale of the series because there was supposed to be a big flashback in the final episode. Mm. And I know that that's not going to happen. They were able to cut that ahead of time. I don't think anything else has been changed.
Okay.
If I learn information otherwise, or anyone has information otherwise, feel free to share, and I will as well. But I think other than that finale scene, I think we're seeing what they intended for us to see.
Yeah. Yeah, and we haven't had any more texting with Samantha, which I would like to know more about. I am predicting that this may trigger... I still think there's going to be a Miranda relapse. I think that...
I can see that.
That's going to happen. I can see it happening. I think Miranda... Fan fiction time! Miranda gets to Cleveland, surprises Che. Obviously, Che's partner is there. Che's primary partner is there. And Miranda sees them, and she's alone in a hotel room and starts drinking again. Calls Steve, apologizes.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any going back with Steve, but yeah, I don't think things are going to go the way that Miranda wants them to. And I guess I couldn't help but wonder why she thinks that everything's going to work out exactly how she's pictured it in her head when nothing has happened that way yet. Like, no indication has been made to Miranda that, like, things are going the way you think they're going to go. I guess other than Che saying that they're in love with Miranda, which that's a whole other thing that I could get into.
Yeah, and I couldn't help but wonder if Carrie's going to go back out with Peter. Or if that beekeeper costume is somewhere, like, or was Miranda like, get this out of my life?
Yeah, I think that one actually was gotten rid of.
Mm. Bummer.
Yeah, so two more to go. Next week's is called No Strings Attached, which might give us a little bit of indication as to what's going to happen in a particular storyline.
Mayhaps. Or they're going to be doing a production of Pinocchio.
Or Bye 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 by NSYNC.
Mm-hmm. Full choreo.
All of these, which I used to know.
Yeah, most people did.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back next week then.
All right,
thanks bye. For listening. Bye. For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link or tell a friend, take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, stay safe, and let's all take care of each other. We'll be back next week with No Strings Attached.
And then Carrie drops all of her books at Lizette's door.
Does she?
No, but she goes upstairs and she's like, and this one is about this, and this one is about this.
Oh, yeah.